Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
Hour 2, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. As we take you up until 1 o'clock, the Cowherd Show follows us for the time being. From 1 until 3, Heather and John, 3 until 6, the drive. And then both of the after, well, our show, what do we call this, middays?
Yes.
Middays. And then the drive will be taking Friday off. It was a company-wide memo, but Morning Rush may or may not be here, right, on Friday. Anyways, Justin Miller won't be, so that may be lead them to being off. But tune in and find out. Let's talk to Tom Kakerd, HawkeyeReport.com. As we talk Hawks, David Kaplan joins us from Chicago at the bottom of the hour talking Chicago sports. Hello, Tom Kakerd. How are you, sir? How's the golf?
It's good. I'm out at the fabulous Deer Run and for the John Deere Classic, and today's Pro-Am Day. So Keegan Murray is playing with Zach Johnson, playing the back nine with Zach Johnson. Keegan played the front nine with Stuart Sink, and now he's playing with Zach. So it's pretty cool to be out here watching Keegan. Keegan, lefty, and he's swinging it pretty good.
Is he really?
Yeah, they were both pretty good high school golfers, if memory serves. I think, as soon as he said that, it kind of jumped into my mind. Now, who's better, him or Caitlin Clark last year?
That's right. I
forgot. Well, that's a good question. That would be a good match.
Yeah.
You know, that would be an interesting match.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they've got a good following for a Wednesday out here at the John Deere. So it's one of my favorite events to be out here hanging out for the day.
That's beautiful. 70s, no humidity. Wait a second.
No.
Yeah, that's not what you're... Tom, is the event still what it once was? Does it continue to grow? I mean, I love the way where it fits on the calendar. Is it still as popular as it was when the event first was first put in place?
Yeah, I think so. It's just been embraced really by the community. You know, the thing they've added here the last year they did it for the first time, and it's really increased attendance on Saturday and Sunday. Is they throw a concert at the end of the day. And so they've got Counting Crows on Saturday night here, right off the 18th tee in that beautiful little pond that they have by the 18th green.
Nice.
And then they Sunday they have Lainey Wilson, country music, who's on Yellowstone and everything. So
it's pretty good.
Coming in here this week. Yeah, yeah.
So Counting Crows was what, 90s, mid-90s?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Jones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, they were. They were pretty good. No doubt. Sorry, John.
No worries at all. Well, Tom, before we dig in a little bit deeper into kind of football, basketball, all those recruiting angles, I know Kyle Huseman does your guys' work on the baseball beat. What can you tell us about the new pitching coach for Iowa baseball?
Yeah, you know, kind of travel a little bit. Didn't spend long. Sean Kenny didn't spend a lot of time at Houston, but comes with a good reputation. You know, for whatever reason, the Sean McGrath marriage just didn't work, and I think Rick and Sean kind of figured that out at the end of the year, that they were both probably better off just parting company and moving on from each other. And so you know, they've got a good setup now with he's brought at least, you know, couple players with him from Houston, so we'll see how it goes. I think the big decision is going to be, and we know Brody Breck's gone, we believe Marcus Morgan's gone, but what happens with Obermueller, and is he going to stay in the draft? Because, you know, I think he's done pretty well in those kind of those camps that they're having to let the MLB people get a look at him. So we'll see what happens with him. But if he's in, then that's a whole new rotation for Iowa next
Jeez.
Year.
When is the draft? It's like, it's soon, right?
Yeah, it's, I think in a week, maybe. I think it's right around the All-Star break.
I think it is, too, if memory serves. We shall see. We'll know before long, right?
July 14th, Sunday, July 14th through Tuesday
and that
the
16th. Is the All-Star break weekend after that, so interesting. Ready for football, GC? Let's go. Cade McNamara, Tom, I can't find And I get it. If there is something wrong there, they're not going to, you know, there's not going to be breaking news. And they're not going to let that cat out of the proverbial bag. But boy, oh boy, it sure seems like he's right where everybody thinks he should be, maybe ahead of schedule even. Glowing reports on Cade McNamara and obviously, you know, it's so critical to this team's success that he's on the field for the entire season. And so far, yep, you're hearing nothing but good reports.
Yeah. And the thing that told me that he's all systems go is he played in that softball game out of Southeast.
Yes, Polk. Yep.
And, you know, if there was any question about his health, he wouldn't have been out there. And they would have kept him off the field and not playing in a, you know, charity softball game. For all due respect to the Make-A-Wish and everything and a great cause, but you're not going to put your starting quarterback out there if you didn't feel like he was going to be if he wasn't healthy enough to do it. So, yeah, I think it's you know, all systems go for him, and I'm assuming he's going to be the starting quarterback when Illinois State arrives on campus.
Tom, we know your expectations are pretty big. I think mine are pretty big. Yeah. I think Ken's are pretty big, and it feels like a lot of the local media is higher on this team than maybe some past seasons. But it's not just local. You're seeing regional. You're even seeing a lot of national writers now jumping on. Iowa can be a playoff team. What now, as we sit here in July, remains your biggest concern? The one area that says this thing not can just go awry and they finish 7-5, 8-4, but the wheels completely would fall off. What concerns you most for in order for that to happen?
Probably a couple things. You know, I think they've got to figure something out in the pass game.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was just so anemic the last 2 years. Just was. And there's no two ways about it. And then maybe your most dynamic pass catcher is going to be gone for the first game at least. Maybe longer. We don't know. What, you know, Kirk Ferentz hasn't said a peep about Caleb Brown. All we know is that he's probably in the doghouse. So we don't know what's happening with him. But I think that's a big thing. I'm still, and I know they always just seem to churn it out, but I'm still, but that defensive line just can't sustain any injuries this year because there's just, it's three deep at the tackle, it's three deep at the end, and then there's, you know, I don't know that Kelvin Bell trusts anything beyond Pittman and beyond Max Llewellyn and the starters. And they've got to develop some more depth there. Because, you know, if a Y.A. Black goes down or an Aaron Grace goes down, you know, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
They just are.
Yep.
And so, you know, they're going to have to figure that out. Somebody's got to emerge. I think that's probably one of the topics that we're not talking about as much, and maybe we'll end up talking about it more, but it might, if it ends up being a bigger topic, it's because something happened there.
Mm-hmm. You know what else? You know who I think's got some pressure on him? Reese, is it Dakin?
Dakin, I think.
Dakin, yeah. Biggest shoes to fill.
It's unbelievable.
Season preview, and I said he's got the biggest shoes to fill on the team.
I literally agree. Because this was a team that was spoiled. The opponent would start at their own five or at their two, seemingly two or three possessions every game. We remember, you know, the fun that the national media had, punting is winning, etc. But it was. And they had such a weapon. There's pressure on Dakin. There really and truly is.
He's got to be good.
Yes.
He's got to be. He doesn't have to be Torrey Taylor, but he's got to be good. He's got to, you know, I don't expect him to be a Ray Guy level award-winning punter, but he's got to still be around 45, and he's got to put the ball inside the 20. And, you know, if he can do that, then, yeah, no real significant drop-off. But
yep.
I think everybody just forgets what a weapon Torrey Taylor has been, you know, the course of his career at Iowa and how that grew. I mean, he was a weapon. He was a game-changing player as a punter. You know, we joke about punting as winning, but
it's true.
It really was.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Didn't get a chance to talk to you as I was off last week, Tom, but not sure if you touched on recruiting much. Lucas Allgaier, the big offensive line commitment that they got, has bloodlines, has family connections to the University of Iowa, but that St. Louis pipeline has been so fruitful for Iowa, Adrian Claiborne, Marvin McNutt, and there's been plenty of others too. keeping that open with Missouri, what they're doing in the SEC, it becoming SEC territory, that feels like it's super important for Iowa to maintain this level, is keeping St. Louis open.
Yeah. You know, I'd mentioned like Christian Kirksey back in the day, too,
yes.
was another, you know, big gift for them out of the St. Louis area. So they've had some success down there, and they've got to keep that going. And really, you know, maybe the biggest remaining name for Iowa is kind of sort of a St. Louis oh, yeah. area kid with Yose Epinesa, who's from Edwardsville, Illinois, which is, you know, you just skip a rock across the Mississippi River and you're in Edwardsville. So, you know, good luck skipping it these days with the flood.
I was going to say, yeah.
You know, we've got a little bit of a flood problem here in, yeah, here in Davenport these days, by the way.
Yeah.
So, but you know, they've got to keep that open. And, you know, by the way, it seems like Yose might be getting closer to a decision. And it's Iowa. Miami's been pretty consistent in that top two or three. And Utah seems to have elevated themselves from what I've been told. So, and Mizzou might be, you know, fourth, fifth.
I thought Mizzou.
Fourth, fifth.
I thought Mizzou would be the team that I would have to beat.
Well, in Missouri, if he was on the other side of the river, they'd be able to start helping him out NIL-wise a little bit earlier, right, with the way that the state law was written.
Yep.
Have you heard anything?
Yep.
I know you're in the NIL space a lot. Have you heard anything state legislation-wise here in the state of Iowa that could be on the books?
Have not. Have not heard anything. So, yeah, it's just...
You're on to something, Trent.
Mm-hmm. Need to talk to Nate Bolton, I think.
Somebody who wants to...
get their name in the paper.
Somebody who wants to earn some votes in an election year. Here you go.
That's you know what?
Get the votes of Hawkeye and Cyclone fans right there. Easy.
It's campaign
true.
Manager Trent Condon here.
You're 100% right.
My DMs are open.
Yeah. Oh, good stuff. Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com. So, Tom, how long are you going to stay at the golf? It's a one-day deal for you?
I'll be out here a couple times this week. But, just out today, I'm going to do a story on Keegan because he's headed out to Las Vegas on Friday. He's going to be training with the, USA basketball, with the U.S. Olympic team.
Is he?
It's part of the select, it's a USA select team. There's about 15 guys and Keegan did it last year and, Grant Hill invited him back this year again. So he's going to be out there for 3 days, training with the, USA Olympic team. So that's just his hope is that, you know, maybe the next time they have the FIBA World Championships, he could be on that team because a lot of guys don't want to plan that after a long NBA season. And then, you know, does well in that. You're like a Tyrese Halliburton or a Anthony Edwards who get called up to the big club for the Los Angeles Olympics in 2028. So he's trying to keep his name in the mix for that. So I think it's a pretty cool opportunity.
That's brilliant.
For Keegan.
Developmental is huge for him just to be practicing against the world's best. This is a really good idea. I did not know that. Glad for you sharing that.
Hey, a little basketball to wrap things up. It looks like Iowa's non-conference schedule is set for next season. And as you'd anticipate, the bye games, much like their brethren at Iowa State, are some yuck. Southern, Texas A&M, Commerce, South Dakota, Rider,
New Hampshire,
USC, Upstate, that's South Carolina, Upstate, New Orleans. I don't think that Irvin Johnson's going to be walking through that door. The one interesting one, though, as you're in the Quad Cities, from the Quad Cities, live in the Quad Cities, is Washington State, no longer a power conference team, making their way to Moline to take on the Hawkeyes. I know your connections there. There's no date that's been announced yet, but kind of what can you tell us about that one? They're also playing in Kansas City. They're also playing in Sioux Falls in a one-off event.
What's the event? Is it the Mark? Is that what?
The Mark in Moline?
The old Mark. It's the old Mark in Moline, and it makes sense with Owen Freeman and especially Brock Harding growing up in Moline, so it makes a lot of sense. I was told it's going to be November 15th. It's a Friday, and Iowa football team's on a bye week that week, so it kind of makes some sense that they would do that. Might attract a pretty decent crowd, I think. We'll see with that. But, look, guys, that's what's going to happen with college basketball now. Because of the way that the Big 12 figured it out last year, how to do well with the new net is just play these garbage teams and just destroy them and then play a couple of, you know, a couple of one-off games and do that. And you can get a really good net ranking, and then you take care of your conference stuff, and you're in the tournament.
The Big 12 didn't figure that out. Fran McCaffrey figured that out. He's been doing that for the last 4 years. And, Tom, we used to go back and forth about Fran's scheduling in the old RPI days, and I completely changed my opinion when we went to the net, because Fran had that figured out. You play those awful, the worst of the worst, and you beat them by 50, it's going to help you out. Though the spread is only capped at 10, your efficiency numbers are not capped. And Fran's been doing that for years. And you can look at a couple of those bubble teams that got in here over the last 4 or 5 years. In the old system, they wouldn't have been close in the RPI. Fran's had this figured out for a while, I think.
Yeah, it's there's a way to game the system. Mm-hmm. And you know, until they fix it,
right?
And I don't know that they're going to.
I don't think they are.
Because it's just, you know, I think they like it the way it is. And I think the thing they're going to have to fix, and I saw they're not going to fix it, is those the MTEs, the multi-team events are, you know, how are you going to fill those when you don't have enough conferences to fill teams, you know, these days? And they just said, yeah, we're not going to let two teams from the same conference play in those. So what's going to happen in Maui? You know, are all these going to be like the thing that's going to go on in Vegas, where they're going
to
give every team $1 million and distribute it? I mean, I think that's what the MTEs are going to be. But I got to see. I want to see how they're going to make money on those MTEs.
Trent said the same thing this morning.
Great minds think alike, Tom Kakert.
We shall see. I hope
nobody
they do.
Does that. Nobody does that for charity. Let's just say that.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Tom Kakert, enjoy the fourth, Tom. Thanks for coming on here today. We'll catch you next Friday, Tom Kakert. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Yep, see you, buddy. Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com. Take a time out. Head to Chicago. Catch up with the Cap Man next. Chicago sports in the spotlight. Centurion Stone of Iowa sponsors our weekly conversation with Capper. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. All right, 12:30. Welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Let's head to Chicago, ESPN 1000. We does mornings on ESPN 1000, Cap's YouTube channel as well. It's must watch when the Cubs get beat, which they do a lot of. No doubt. And even last night, the with the White Sox, Cap, you're 1,000% correct. First of all, good to speak with you. Happy for it. I don't care if Luis Robert wouldn't have been able to get him at home plate or not. Go to the trouble, would you please, of at least efforting a throw. After all, we've seen guys pull a hamstring or occasionally trip on their feet and fall down on the base pass. It's not like it's never happened. Would it have happened last night? Probably not. But come on, you're being paid millions of dollars. Make a freaking throw at the end of the game.
Well, it's not only, and it's great to be with you guys as always, happy fourth to everybody. It's not always only that he didn't throw the ball.
Didn't set up.
He didn't even get himself in position to attempt to throw the ball.
Yeah.
And that's what drove me insane. I'm watching the game. I'm up at our house in Wisconsin, and we're sitting there playing cards as a family, and we have the game on. And there's the fly ball. I'm like, well, this will be the ball game, I would think. This guy's pretty speedy. And then I look, and he's not even rounding it, getting ready to do the little crow hop to get all you can into the... He just catches it and just stands there.
Yep.
And if you listen to play-by-play calls, radio TV for White Sox and radio for the Cleveland Guardians, they're like, oh, he's not even going to throw the ball. Yeah. People were shocked, and then Kopech just kind of looked back at him like, really? We're not even going to try?
What can they get at the trade deadline? I mean, how much of a tear down are we still looking at? What you can actually get something to help out that farm system and build going forward as we look to the end of the month? What do you anticipate the White Sox are looking to do?
I mean, everybody I talk to that I trust tell me they are absolutely going to trade Garrett Crochet. Bob Nightingale now has reported that. And you know, when it comes to the White Sox, I was just tapped in as buddy, and I like Bob a lot. I don't understand why. Tell me why you would trade a 24-year-old starter who's top 10 in the game, makes literally no money in baseball terms, 800 grand. Why? So they engaged in brief contract extension talks that went nowhere. Well, yeah, would you try and steal him for nothing? So I don't understand what you're looking for. You're hoping that the prospect you get can be as good as Garrett Crochet. A year ago when they fired Rick and Kenny, and deservedly so, and they promoted Chris Getz, they said, we're being competitive next year. Well, they're competitive means they're going to have the worst record potentially in the history of the sport. Mm. And now you're going to get rid of your most marketable asset? I don't get it. I think it's ridiculous.
I'm with you. Speaking of ridiculous, that's what they're putting on the field every night on the north side. Why they keep running Wisniewski out to throw, as JD calls it, to Shays, a center cut fastball, and we've seen 10 of them leave the park in the last 19 innings this guy has pitched. I had high hopes for him, Cap, I did. I thought Wisniewski was going to figure things out. He's still well made, but you can't keep doing it over and over and over, can you? Or have they just waved the white flag?
Well, if they start trading guys, then they will have waved the white flag. But they can't buy unless the only way you could buy in this market is if you're buying someone for beyond 2024. Like if you said, hey, Toronto's blowing it up and they're going to trade you Bo Bichette and Vladdy Guerrero.
Nope.
That wasn't me, even though I'm a Blue Jays fan.
Yeah, you were getting very concerned. Yeah. Hey, Vladdy's heating up, by the way.
He is. It's about time. But the team's cooked. They're not going to get back into the race. Well, look, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think that I am. We will reconnect with Cappy because there's obviously more Cubs conversation to get to, and we'll get to the Bears as well. I had somebody want to ask about the contracts with the first round picks. They don't have Adunze done. They don't have Caleb Williams done. And when is that going to get done? So we'll get to those with Cap in just a second. Cap, you were.
I don't know what it was, something I said, but what I was saying was, You have to take a look and go, can we trade for somebody that we could keep beyond 2024, like Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? Okay, then that makes sense, and you add on there. Otherwise, you don't have a lot to trade. Mm-hmm. I'm not giving up Justin Steele, who's my number one starter.
Right.
If I think I can compete at all next year, and they should, I'm not giving up Imanaga. So what do I really have to trade? Somebody wants to take Cody Bellinger off my hands? I get out of all that money? Have at it.
Yeah.
It's a difficult spot to be. And all these pieces, all of them, it just didn't work together, Cap. It hasn't come together. Is there one reason you can point to? Was it thinking that they had more than they actually did? How did this thing go so awry when I think all of us thought that they were going to be, certainly not this bad, but even at minimum, this is going to be a team that's going to win 84, 85 games, and they're not even close to that kind of team.
Yeah, I thought they'd be better than they are, so it'd be disingenuous for me to say, oh, I saw this coming. The only thing I saw, and I said this to you guys, was I'm really concerned about their bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
Spring training.
Yep.
They don't have a closer. Alzolay was not a closer. He's just not. And so to bring him out of camp and think, yeah, we're good, he can close games on a team by their admission, not just ours, is a team trying to compete, then that's ridiculous. They never went and took care of their bullpen. And when you blow 17 saves, which is what they have, to the moment of this interview, they have blown 17 save opportunities. Who knows where the team would be if they had saved 10 of the 17?
Mm-hmm. What's the best case scenario for this team this year, Cap? I mean, this time last year, they were kind of in the same place, right? And then they got hot. They went from being sellers to we're going to keep our guys, with the exception of the final weekend, the Arizona series. They probably are finding a way to get into the playoffs last year. Can they do that this year? It doesn't seem likely to me.
I don't see it. Like, why is the offense all of a sudden going to magically click? Go pull up the box score from last night and look at the last five guys in the lineup, and look how
0 for 0 for 0 for 0 for 0 for.
I'm talking about their season numbers. Look at their season numbers from Swanson to Morel to Amaya. They're pinch hitting with Miles Mastroboni, who's hitting 146. 149.
Yeah.
146. I mean, what are we doing here?
Morrell, .95. Pete Crow Armstrong, who I love watching play defense and run the bases. He's hitting .88. Nito was it was cast off by the Mets. The Cubs, this is our guy. He's batting .202. Amaya is .89. Cap, you're 1,000% correct.
Yeah, so what are we doing here? And I keep saying this on the air. If the Cubs were owned by the late George Steinbrenner, do you think he would have watched Alzolay blow five saves in the first whatever number of games, 15, 18, and wouldn't have gone into Brian Cashman and said, either you do it or I'll do it, and if I do it, I'm firing you because I don't need you then. Find a closer today. And they would have gotten one. Yeah. They would have done something, maybe overpaid, but guess what? They'd have saved their season. The Cubs, they keep running the same awful lineup out there. He tries to close with Colton Brewer. What are we, kidding? And they keep blowing saves.
Time in and time out. It has been a long, long season, certainly throughout Chicago. Is it going to be a long season on the football field, on the gridiron coming up this year? As we have flipped the calendar to July, Cap, where are you with this Bears team as we get ready a couple weeks away from training camp?
I think they win 10 games. I do. I don't understand why people, some of the gamblers in Vegas and some of the analytics sites that have the Bears with like 8 wins. I don't understand that. Because if Caleb Williams is truly who we all think he is, with this great work ethic and his teammates are raving about him, if he's truly that guy and you have a top 10 defense for sure, mm-hmm. and you've added Keenan Allen and Roma Dunze and you fixed some holes on your offensive line and you're telling me that they can't win 3 more games? Come on now. I don't believe that.
First half of the schedule is a lot easier than the back half of the schedule. They could get off to a decent start. Will they do so? We had somebody tweet at us, Capper, wanted to know, why is Odunze and why are Caleb Williams, why aren't those two first-round picks signed, sealed, and delivered yet? Any idea?
I don't know the answer to that question. I've asked it and been told, relax. We're just working out terminology, but it's all fine. They all went through mini camp. Yep. No holdouts coming. So everything is slotted, maybe because Caleb with Victor Wembanyama and friends and all that, they were all on vacation. Maybe that's why. I don't know the answer to it, but I'm being told not to worry.
Interesting. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to see here.
Everything's fine.
Everything is fine. Just a little bit different.
See here. So there is.
Cap, you've talked about Caleb Williams and the way that he is kind of done most everything right at this point mm-hmm. in time. He has answered the questions in the right way. He's been a leader like you're hoping. He's done all the positives here. We've seen, well, just a couple years ago, Justin Fields, and felt like he was potentially going to be the guy. They've drafted Cade McNown in the first round, and on and on and on, and it hasn't worked. What is the one thing you point to in your mind why Caleb Williams is different than everything we've seen in the last 75 years since Sid Luckman?
Because I think he's a better player, and the people who do this for a living outside of Chicago, who I trust, all believe he's the real deal. That, A, the work ethic is there, the ability is there, like he's that guy. And we've never had that guy. Like Justin, for all his athleticism and things we all liked about him and a good guy, Justin was the 4th quarterback taken in his draft. And there were teams that needed a quarterback that all passed on him. Whether that was Denver back then or Carolina or whoever it was, they all left him on the board to take players at other positions, which told you there were teams that had doubts about Justin mm-hmm. Fields' ability. So if that's the case, we got the pick of the litter this time.
Yeah.
And everybody that you read says, yep, he's by far the best quarterback in the draft, and he should be at some point one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the National Football League. Will he be? He's got to prove that, but we all believe he will.
Fingers crossed. Cap, enjoy the 4th. Trent and I will talk with you next Wednesday. We'll be at Stadium Swim at Circa. So,
God, and you promised the last time.
I keep saying.
Well, we'll bring you with us.
Uh-huh. It's going to happen, Cap. It's going to happen.
They still have flights available.
From Chicago,
yes.
You can get out there. We'd love to have you.
All right, you got it.
See you, pal.
you.
Have a good four. Thank you. David Kaplan, Centurion Stone of Iowa, sponsors our weekly conversation with Cap. Of course, they're closed on Thursday, closed Friday. We'll be open Saturday, though, at 8 to noon if you have a project inside, outside. Looking to add some natural stone veneer products to a wall, a pool area, a deck, anything. Centurion Stone of Iowa. Check them out online. Check them out at the showroom. You will be glad that you did. All right, 10 wins, Mr. Bear.
Mm-hmm.
Can they get to 10 wins? Is that crazy?
Yes.
Have you seen the first nine games? Before they have to go to Green Bay, before they host Green Bay in the middle of November,
mm-hmm.
let's just do this real quick. Do we have time?
Yeah.
Home to Tennessee.
Win.
At Houston.
Loss.
At Indy.
Win.
Home to Ram.
Win.
That's three. Home to Carolina.
Win.
Home to Jacksonville.
Holy crap, the Bears are going to the Super Bowl.
At Wash.
And then they fall on
no,
their face.
No, they could be Wash.
They can, they won't.
At Arizona.
Then it's all of a sudden two in a row, and now, yeah.
And here come the Patriots.
All right, there's a win.
So that's like six or seven.
Uh-huh.
So to get to 10, you have to be three of Green Bay.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Home to Minnesota.
Okay, they'll get that.
At Deet.
Nope.
At San Fran.
Nope.
At Vikingville.
Nope.
Home to Deet.
Nope.
Home to Seattle, yes.
Maybe.
No, maybe. At Packerville.
Sounds like 8-9 to me.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, I'm with you. After that, I think they'll tease you.
They better get off to a good start.
They have to. But that schedule says good start all over it. Trent's plays of the day. They're coming up next. Circus Sports sponsor those. It's Miller and Condon. We're on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. All right, 10 before 1. Welcome back, Miller and Condon. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent's plays of the day coming up. Circus Sports sponsor those. Are you staying home for the 4th? What are you doing?
Well, we're going to Kansas City this weekend for a concert. I don't know who.
I remember you telling me about
yes.
this. I didn't know it was this weekend.
It is this weekend. So Tara's leaving early. Her and the girls are going down a day early to KC. So I'm going to take the kids Friday. I'm going to go out on the golf course. Go play par three, maybe mm-hmm. up in Jester,
uh-huh.
get the kids swinging the clubs. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Then we're going to go to the iCubs game on Friday night. We're going to have a fun-filled Friday.
And that's the iCubs fireworks
night. It is. Kids are pumped up about that. So hopefully the weather is okay, and we'll make that happen mm-hmm. on that. Now, I'm going to guess that you are jam-packed. Picnics,
oh, Trent. We'll
barbecues,
be all over the place.
Get-togethers.
Yes, family. Oh, that's right. We don't have any.
not around here. You have family.
Yeah, no, I'm going to do nothing.
WNBA circle, noon on Saturday.
Noon on Saturday.
A lot of baseball.
A lot of baseball.
Hot dog eating contest?
No.
Completely out.
I've never been into it. I think it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever tried to watch. No, that's not true. When there was the pandemic, the worst thing I ever did in my life was I watched that frickin' Tiger show.
Oh, Tiger King.
Is that what it was called?
It was excellent.
I was so mad at myself that I was doing that. But what else was there to do?
We didn't have much.
Didn't have much. So, no, and then I catch a plane on Sunday and head to Las Vegas. Be there Sunday night. You get there Monday night.
I'm looking forward to that part of it, too.
Yeah, can't wait.
And that'll be plenty of gambling, but we try to warm up here. It's been a couple of profitable days in a row.
All
we're
right.
starting to turn it around
keep
after
it
a
going.
Week away. And we'll go start first with baseball. We got four plays today, and it's Paul Skeens Day.
Uh-huh.
5:40 first pitch. Remember that part. Mm-hmm.
How many more starts has he got in him?
When Over did they under shut six him and down? A half?
Yeah, probably. So September-ish, late August.
Late August.
Yeah, yeah.
And that'll be it. -120 tonight for Skeens at Circa. Going to play my Washington Nationals, +128. They got Parker on the mound. Good youngster out there against the Mets. We'll take the plus price in that one. Back to the well again with the Phillies. Why wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
-108, though, as we found out from Sport Trade, there is a whale that is on the Cubs.
Yeah, he's wrong.
I think he is, too. And give me Seattle. You know what this is. Dean Kramer comes off the IL after a long stint, and he was brutalized in his warm-up starts down in the minor leagues.
Was he?
The ERA, I think, in his three starts was like 11.28.
When are they
like going
to do something as far as that?
They have to, right?
Absolutely do.
They got a one.
Uh-huh. And they got a really good team.
They do. Shore up the bullpen, maybe another arm. They have the farm system to do it.
I was just about to say, absolutely do.
This might be a double dip play. And what is 118 with Seattle? We might throw two units on this one.
So you love the Mariners and Logan Gilbert and company.
And here's a little bonus for you. How about some golf? John Deere starts tomorrow. I'm going to ladder one guy this week. Laddering meaning I'm betting him to win, to finish in the top 10, and to finish in the top 20. You're putting together basically 2.5 units. Half unit on him to win, whatever your price is. Mm-hmm. If it's 10 bucks, you put $5 on him. Normally a $10 bet, $5, and then $10 on him to finish in the top 10. You get that a plus 260, and in the top 20.
Who are you
20,
betting?
Denny McCarthy.
Denny McCarthy.
Great putter.
Okay.
This is a chip and giggle type of tournament. It's going to be a low number, and if that putter is hot, Denny McCarthy far exceeds most everybody in the world of golf. Doesn't matter what kind of greens it is. He is that good of a putter. This is a guy that could go incredibly low. So
he can win it then by the sound.
Oh, yeah.
What's Zach's price to win it?
I want to say it was, I saw his top 10 was like 14 to 1, something like that. Or maybe he was in top 20. He was way down the list. I was surprised.
Yeah. This used to be like an annuity to him.
Oh, absolutely. Made a lot of money on Zach back in the day. This might be something, I haven't seen the price yet. I might even bet him no to make the cut. Mm. I'm sure you could probably get a pretty good plus price on that. That's something that I'm going to be investigating here in the next 12 hours before we close the eyes, go to bed for the night, and get ready for the golf tournament starting tomorrow, which is always fun. I love the John Deere Classic. I really did. I've never been there. Need to make that happen some summer. Doesn't Holte go there every year?
Holte used to go every year and used to do it for us at KXNO every year. I don't know. Anyways, if he still goes or not, but we shall see you in Las Vegas. You're going to do the show on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Have a wonderful weekend to you and everybody listening. Make it a safe weekend. The drive is off on Friday. Miller and Condon are off on Friday. So we'll talk to you on Monday. Thanks for being with us. The Cowherd Show is next. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.